Our scripture for today comes from the very first epistle, Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians. We are reading from chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, we are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. May God bless this reading, hearing, and our understanding of this, his holy word. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray that you would help us to open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up to you. May the words spoken, the words heard, and the words meditated on be acceptable to you, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So, if you read this, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? This is in the interactive part of the sermon. What do you think about? What's the first thing that you think about? Anyone? The rapture, right? We will all be, the dead in Christ will return in the crowds. The dead shall rise first, and then we that are alive will be. We're drawn up into the sky. We will not have to suffer death. We will be with Jesus forever. That's a sticky, sticky subject. Because then you get into, are you pre-trib? Are you post-trib? What's going to happen? Are things going on today? Is the Antichrist, is he here on earth? So you know what? We're not going to talk about it. And let me tell you why. Because this passage has got nothing to do with the rapture. Think about it. Well, I'll tell you why I said that. I know why you're laughing, but all right, I want you to pretend something. I want you to pretend that Christ was here on earth, let's say two years ago. Okay? The whole biblical story happened to all of us 2 years ago. We believe in Jesus, we know, and he says, if I leave, I shall come again, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I shall return again. Well, what are you going to think? You're going to think he's coming back pretty doggone soon. And then people start dying. People like Helen Hufford, Irene Terman, other loved ones that we think about that have died. And we're confused. Wait a minute. This is not supposed to be happening. People are not supposed to be dying. Christ is going to come back, and then we're all going to go up. And we're going to be with him forever. Paul, well, he writes this. Remember, this is the very first epistle. So Paul gets to talk about some deep theological stuff without having to deal with all of the throes within a particular church. So what is he saying here? He is talking to those Christians that have become disillusioned, that are doubting. Wait a minute, Christ said he was coming back. People are dying. What gives? So Paul is writing to assure them that all of those that have gone before us, all of those that have died in Christ, are not going to be forgotten. They're not. When Jesus comes back in the clouds with the host of heaven, with Gabriel tooting on his trumpet, Paul says, the dead in Christ will be raised first. Anybody in the Navy? Or where's in the Navy? Nope. During World War, I think about World War II, but it happens at other times too. If you were out in the middle of the Atlantic or the Pacific, and God forbid that you died, you got buried at sea. Part of the liturgy, the little ceremony, talked about when Christ returned and how the dead would be resurrected, would be drawn, would be come up and meet Jesus. So it doesn't matter if our loved one is at the bottom of an ocean, whether they are buried in a crypt, in a tomb, whether they are buried in the ground, whether they have a casket in a vault, or whether they were just interred in the ground, they're going to be raised again. That, my friends, is what is called hope. That is what Paul is trying to get across to people. Now, let me tell you why I don't think this is necessarily talking about the rapture. Because let me be frank, when I think about the rapture, it scares me. Mostly because I don't know what the heck is going to happen. And if you don't know, a lot of times you start thinking about it. And thinking about it, and you're worried about it. What does verse 18 say? Paul is saying, encourage other people with this fact that yes, we as Christians are going to die. Our physical bodies are going to give up on us. But that's not the end. Because Jesus is going to come back, and everyone, the dead first, and then any that are left, will be rescued, will be resurrected, and will be sent, will go with Christ into the heavens. Now, yeah, this is somewhat simplistic, and there is a lot of stuff that we could talk about. You know, the whole thing about tribulation, about soul sleep. What happens when you die? Are you basically asleep, or do you go straight to heaven? Doesn't matter. What matters is we have hope. When a loved one dies, leaves us, especially, well, when a loved one leaves us, we feel sad, right? Because they're not here anymore. We don't have that person to confide in. My mother's mother, Grandma, we called her Grandma. Grandma died late July of 1987. Grandpa died 7 years before that. In the 7 years between that, my brother Ed, my grandmother, and I were or conspiracists. Well, whatever. We would conspire about what to give to my parents for birthdays, for Christmas. And every time that would come up, we'd be on the phone with Grandma. What do you think, Grandma? What do you think? What do you think? Like I said, she passed away in July of 1987, and I cannot tell you how many times in the years after that I said to myself, I need to call Grandma and talk about this. It's sad because they're not here. But the strange, one of the strange things about Christendom is that death is a time of sadness and it is a time of joy. It's sad they're not here. It's joyful because, you know, we know that we will see them again. A lot of times death is actually welcomed. Sometimes it's sudden and it's not quite. But again, we have hope. Back when I, in the late 80s, when I started at college, I was exposed for the first time to what was called contemporary Christian music. And I got exposed to a group called Petra. Has anybody heard about the band Petra? Okay. Petra has a song called The Grave Robber. Do you know it? Do you know it? Good. It starts off, "There is a step that we all take alone, an appointment we have with the great unknown. Like a vapor, this life is just waiting to pass, like the flowers that fade, like the withering grass. But life seems so long and death so complete. In the grave, an impossible portion to cheat." Have you felt like that? I have sometimes. It then goes on. "But there's one who has been there and still lives to tell. There is one who has been both through both heaven and hell. And the grave will come up empty-handed that day. Jesus will come and steal us away. Where is the sting? Tell me, where is the bite when the grave robber comes like a thief in the night? Where is the victory? Where is the prize when the grave robber comes and death finally dies?" Grave robber's going to come, my friends. That I am quite sure of. And death will be swallowed in sweet victory. Let he who has ears hear. Amen.